Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Memor by Ram Goldar and Dev Maseches Baba Kama Daf Kuf Zayin. The ninth parak Gozel Eitzim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Torah's parsha about Shomrim obligates swearing for Modva Mixas, one who admits to part of a claim. Bechia Bar Yosef said, "Er Parshios Kasuv Kan." A mixture of Parshios is written here. He explains that the pasuk "Ki Hu Zeh," this is it, meaning this is all I owe you, the source text for swearing by Modva Mixas, does not belong in the parsha of Shomer Chinam where it's written. Rather, it's referring to one who denies a loan. Rabbi explained, "Mifnei ma'amr Torah mod b'mixas atani yeshava." Why did the Torah say that one who admits to a part of a claim must swear about his denial? Chazaka in adam meis panav mifnei balchovo. It's because there's a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to deny his obligation to the face of his creditor. Rashi explains, because he lent him money. Thus, completely denying a loan is believed without swearing. One who partially admits does so because he cannot fully deny. The reason he did not fully admit is to stall for time until he has the money to pay. Therefore, the Torah required him to swear so he admits completely. Regarding a pikadon, which the shomer can be so bold as to fully deny, as Rashi explains, the Baal pikadon did not do the shomer any favor, one must swear even for a full denial. Point number two, we just learned Rabbi Chiya bar Abba taught that the Torah required swearing about a pikadon even for a full denial. On the previous daf, Rabbi Yochanan disagreed and said that a shomer chinam who falsely swears that the item was stolen from him, eno chayv ad sheyikfor b'mixas v'yod b'mixas, is not liable to pay kafel unless he denies part of the claim and admits to part of the claim, because the pasuk says, ki hu zeh, this is it, regarding the shomer chinam's false claim, which is where he pays kafel. Similarly, Rami Bar Chama said, "Arba shomrim tzrichen kafir b'mixas v'hoda b'mixas." The four shomrim of the Torah require partial denial and partial admission to become obligated to swear, but would not swear for a full denial. He also explains that the pasuk says, "Ki hu zeh," this is it, regarding a shomer chinam, implying his obligation to swear is where he partially admits, because Rami Bar Chama does not hold it's a mixture of partios. He explains how he derives the other shomrim. And point number three, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef says about a shomer chinam who falsely swears the item was stolen, eno chayv ad sheyishlach bo yad, he's not liable to pay kafel unless he misappropriated it, meaning he used it without permission before he swore. The Torah requires a shomer chinam swears im lo shalach yado b'molechas re'ehu, that he did not lay his hand upon his fellow's property, which implies that the kafel penalty for swearing falsely, which follows, is where he did misappropriate the pikadon. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said that Rabbi Yochanan held he's liable b'omedas avusa, where the watched animal is standing by the trough, meaning where it was not used. Rabbi Zer asked him if Rabbi Yochanan holds he's only liable when he did not misappropriate the pikadon, but if he did, he becomes a gazlan and will not pay kafel for swearing falsely. Or does Rabbi Yochanan hold he pays kafel in both cases? The Rush writes that the end of the Gemara proves that Rabbi Yochanan obligates kafel in both cases. Rav Shesha says that if he misappropriated the pikadon, he does not pay kafel. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Torah's parsha about Shomrim obligates swearing from Modva b'mixas, one who admits to part of a claim. Bechia bar Yosef said, "Er Parshios Kasuv Kan," a mixture of Parshios is written here. He explains that the pasuk "Ki hu zeh," this is it, meaning this is all I owe you, the source text for swearing by Modva b'mixas, does not belong in the parsha of Shomer Chinam where it's written. Rather, it's referring to one who denies a loan. Rabbi explained, "Mifnei ma'amr Torah mod b'mixas atani yeshava." Why did the Torah say that one who admits to a part of a claim must swear about his denial? Chazaka in adam meis panav mifnei balchovo. It's because there's a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to deny his obligation to the face of his creditor. Rashi explains, because he lent him money. Thus, completely denying a loan is believed without swearing. One who partially admits does so because he cannot fully deny. The reason he did not fully admit is to stall for time until he has the money to pay. Therefore, the Torah required him to swear so he admits completely. Regarding a pikadon, which the shomer can be so bold as to fully deny, as Rashi explains, the Baal pikadon did not do the shomer any favor, one must swear even for a full denial. Point number two, we just learned Rabbi Chiya bar Abba taught that the Torah required swearing about a pikadon even for a full denial. On the previous daf, Rabbi Yochanan disagreed and said that a shomer chinam who falsely swears that the item was stolen from him, eno chayv ad sheyikfor b'mixas v'yod b'mixas, is not liable to pay kafel unless he denies part of the claim and admits to part of the claim, because the pasuk says, "Ki hu zeh," this is it, regarding the shomer chinam's false claim, which is where he pays kafel. Similarly, Rami Bar Chama said, "Arba shomrim tzrichen kafir b'mixas v'hoda b'mixas." The four shomrim of the Torah require partial denial and partial admission to become obligated to swear, but would not swear for a full denial. He also explains that the pasuk says ki hu zeh, this is it, regarding a shomer chinam, implying his obligation to swear is where he partially admits, because Rami Bar Chama does not hold it's a mixture of partios. He explains how he derives the other shomerim. And point number three, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef says about a shomer chinam, who falsely swears the item was stolen, eno chayv ad sheyishchak bo yad, he's not liable to pay kefil unless he misappropriated it, meaning he used it without permission before he swore. The Torah requires that shomer chinam swears imo shalach yado b'molaches re'eu, that he did not lay his hand upon his fellow's property, which implies that the kefil penalty for swearing falsely, which follows, is where he did misappropriate the pikadon. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said that Rabbi Yochanan held he's liable b'omedes avusa, where the watched animal is standing by the trough, meaning where it was not used. Rabbi Zera asked him if Rabbi Yochanan holds he's only liable when he did not misappropriate the pikadon, but if he did, he becomes a gazlan and will not pay kefil for swearing falsely. Or does Rabbi Yochanan hold he pays kefil in both cases? The Rush writes that the end of the Gemara proves that Rabbi Yochanan obligates kefil in both cases. Rav Sheshe says that if he misappropriated the pikadon, he does not pay kefil. All right, so now we go to our siman daf kuf zayin, and our standard siman is couscous. Couscous is a staple food in North African cuisine. It's made from tiny granules of semolina flour. So couscous is the siman. So here goes. The couscous restaurant owner, who was motiba mixas to his creditor because he was not so brazen to deny the whole loan to his face, overheard four shomrim seated at a table eating couscous say that they only swear when they are motiba mixas. When a shomer chinam came forward to pay him kefil after he falsely swore the couscous supplies he was watching were stolen, when in fact he had used them to make his own couscous. Once again, slow motion. The couscous restaurant owner, couscous, that must be one duff, Kuv Zion. The couscous restaurant owner who was motiba mixas to his creditor because he was not so brazen to deny the whole loan to his face, which reminds us, Rabbi explained, Mifnei ma'amra Torah motiba mixas satana yishava. Why did the Torah say that one who admits to a part of a claim must swear about his denial? Chazaka in adam meiz pana bifnei balchobo. It's because there's a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to deny his obligation to the face of his creditor. Rashi explains, because he lent him money. Thus, completely denying a loan is believed without swearing. So the couscous restaurant owner who was motiba mixas to his creditor, because he was not so brazen to deny the whole loan to his face, overheard four shomrim seated at a table eating couscous say that they only swear when they are motiba mixas. Which reminds us, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba taught that the Torah required swearing about a pikadon even for a full denial. Yochanan disagreed and said that a shomer chinam who falsely swears that the item was stolen from him, eino chayv ad sheyikfor b'mixas v'yodeh b'mixas, he's not liable to pay kefil unless he denies part of the claim and admits to part of the claim, because the pasuk says, ki hu zeh, this is it, regarding the shomer chinam's false claim, which is where he pays kefil. Similarly, Rami Bar Chama said, arba shomrim tzrichin kafir b'mixas v'hodah b'mixas. The four shomrim of the Torah require partial denial and partial admission to become obligated to swear, but would not swear for a full denial. So, the couscous restaurant owner who was motiba mixas to his creditor because he was not so brazen to deny the whole loan to his face, overheard four shomrim seated at a table eating couscous say that they only swear when they are motiba mixas. When a shomer chinam came forward to pay him kefil after he falsely swore the couscous supplies he was watching were stolen, when in fact he had used them to make his own couscous. Which reminds us, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef says about a shomer chinam who falsely swears the item was stolen, eino chayv ad sheyishchak bo yad, he's not chayv to pay kefil unless he misappropriated it, meaning he used it without permission before he swore. The Torah requires that shomer chinam swears imo shalach yado b'molaches re'eu, that he did not lay his hand upon his fellow's property, which implies that the kefil penalty for swearing falsely, which falls, is where he did misappropriate the pikadon. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said that Rabbi Yochanan held he's liable b'omedes al avusa, where the watched animal is standing by the trough, meaning where it was not used. So once again, the couscous restaurant owner who was motiba mixas to his creditor because he was not so brazen to deny the whole loan to his face, overheard four shomrim seated at a table eating couscous say that they only swear when they are motiba mixas. When his shomer chinam came forward to pay him kefil after he falsely swore the couscous supplies he was watching were stolen, when in fact he had used them to make his own couscous. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazar. Daf kuf gimel. So the simmer daf kuf gimel is kugel, and we use Yerushalmi kugel. So here goes. The land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi kugel. That must be more daf kuf gimel. The land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi kugel while refusing to write a second shtar for the buyer who falsely claimed that he bought the field on the Reish Galus's behalf, which reminds us, if a buyer declared untruthfully that he bought a field on the Reish Galus's behalf to discourage potential protesters, we do not force the seller to sell it a second time, meaning he doesn't have to write him another document identifying him as a true owner. Although the buyer can argue that the seller understood that he only claimed to purchase for the Reish Galusa as a security measure and realized the buyer wanted a second shtar, the seller can respond that he thought the buyer arranged with the Reish Galusa to write a shtar for him. So the land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi Kugel while refusing to write a second shtar for the buyer, who falsely claimed that he bought the field on the Reish Galusa's behalf, packed up some kugel for the gazlan on his way to Madai to bring payment to the victim after he had sworn falsely, and only later confessed, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hagozel is chavero shava pruta, one who robs from his fellow the value of a pruta, v'nishbolo, and then he swears falsely to him, denying the robbery, but later confesses and is chayv to pay the principal and an additional fifth and bring a karban asham, yolechenu akarav afil l'madai, he must bring the payment after him even to Madai. He cannot give it to the victim's son, nor to his own shaliach, but he may give it to a shaliach of basin, which is a takana enacted to encourage his repentance. So the land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi Kugel while refusing to write a second shtar for the buyer who falsely claimed that he bought a field on the Reish Galusa's behalf, packed up some kugel for the gazlan on his way to Madai to bring payment to the victim after he had sworn falsely, and only later confessed, and served kugel to the five people waiting to be paid by the thief who stole from one of them but did not remember who, which reminds us, it was taught in the Mishnah, Gazla Echad Mechamisha, one who robbed one of five people, Ve'ini Yede Ezmehen, but he doesn't know which one of them it was, and each of them claims it was he. Rabbi Tarfon says, Meniach Gazela Benehu Mistalik, he places the robbed item between them and removes himself. Rabbi Kiva says, this is not the derech to remove him from Avera. Achi Yeshalom Gazela Kol Echad Ve'echad, he has not fulfilled his obligation until he pays the robbed item's value to every one of them. Daf Kuf Dalet. So the Siman Daf Kuf Dalet is a code. So here goes. The code breaker who successfully deciphered that a debtor should pay his debt to the creditor Shaliach, who was A.W. Ayin, appointed with Aidim, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a Shaliach, which the creditor appointed with Aidim to collect his debt. Rav Chisda says, Havi Shaliach, he's a legal Shaliach, and the debtor is absolved of his debt after giving him the money, even if it never reaches his creditor. Rav says he's not a legal Shaliach, since the creditor never instructed the debtor to give him the money. So the codebreaker who successfully deciphered that a debtor should pay his debt to the creditor Shaliach, who was A.W. Ayin, appointed with Aidim, but that a Shomer should not send money back for the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner Shaliach, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel, Ein Mishalchim Maos B'diokani, a Shomer should not send money back for the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner Shaliach. Bafil Eidim Chasum Moleh, even if Eidim are signed on the symbol as authentic, because this symbol does not prove he was appointed a Shaliach to retrieve it. Rav Yochanan said that if Eidim are signed on it, he is established as a Shaliach and one may send the money with him. So the codebreaker who successfully deciphered that a debtor should pay his debt to the creditor Shaliach, who was A.W. Ayin, appointed with Eidim, but that a Shomer should not send money back for the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner Shaliach, was overjoyed when he figured out the code Chomesh equals Mamun means that if a gazlan died after only paying the victim, the principal is heirs. Must pay the Chomesh, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if a gazlan repaid the stolen principal but not the additional fifth, he does not need to bring it to the victim. The Gemara infers that it is still owed. Almo Chomesh Mamonuhu. We see that the additional fifth payment is a monetary obligation to the victim, and not just for atonement. And if the gazlan would die, his heirs would still owe it. Kuf Hei, so the Simondav Kuf Hei is a Russian hacker. So here goes. The Russian who hacked, a Russian who hacked, a Russian hacker? That must be one of Kuf Hei. The Russian who hacked into the thief's computer and discovered that he had stolen three bundles worth three prutos, which decreased in value to two prutos, and had only returned two of them, which reminds us, Rava taught, if someone stole three bundles worth three prutos, and they decreased to a total value of two prutos, and he returned two of them, he must still return the other one despite being worth less than a pruta, since it had a pruta's value when it was stolen. So the Russian who hacked into the thief's computer and discovered that he had stolen three bundles worth three prutos, which decreased in value to two prutos, and had only returned two of them, and found a picture of the thief swearing falsely about having stolen chametz after became Aser Bahana, which reminds us, Rava asked, Nishba Lav Mao, if one swore falsely about having stolen chametz, which had become Aser Bahana, what is the law? Do we say, since if it would be stolen from him, he would have to pay its original value, and therefore it's considered denying a monetary liability? Or do we say that since the chametz is here and can be returned in its worthless form, it is not a monetary denial? So the Russian who hacked into the thief's computer and discovered that he had stolen three bundles worth three prutos, which decreased in value to two prutos, and had only returned two of them, and found a picture of the thief swearing falsely about having stolen chametz after it became Aser Bahana, realized by hacking into a security camera that the reason he swore falsely to deny Pikadon was to stall for time and retrieve it from a swamp. Which reminds us, Rav Sheshe said, a kofer bibikadon, one who falsely denies having a deposit in his possession, nasal of gazlan, he's become a gazlan through his denial, even without swearing, b'chai ba'onsin, he's a chayiv for unavoidable mishaps which befall it. Rami Bar Chama challenged him from a mission which lists someone who swore falsely to deny pikadon as someone who is chashud al shvu, a suspect in regard to oaths. According to Rav Sheshe, he's considered a gazlan who's disqualified from swearing through his mere denial, even without swearing. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah's case is where the Pikadon was in a swamp, and his denial was not to steal it, but to stall for time until he retrieves it. When he denies a Pikadon in his possession, he is immediately considered a gazlan. Daf Kuf Vav. So the Sim Daf Kuf Vav is a tightrope walker walking a fine line, a kav. So here goes. The tightrope walker, that must be on Daf Kuf Vav, kav, line, walking a fine line. The tightrope walker who told two Edim standing on the platform that it was too late to testify against him since he already sworn denial to a claim im based, and which reminds us, Rav Huna said in Rav's name, if one says to his fellow, mana libi yadcha, a mana of mine is in your possession, and the defendant denies it and swears, and afterwards Edim testify against him, he's pater from paying because the pasuk says, v'lakach bala b'lo yishalim, and its owner shall accept it, and he shall not pay, which teaches, kevin shekibul habam shvua shuv ein mashal mamun. Once the owner has accepted a shvua, the defendant no longer pays money. So the tightrope walker who told two Edim standing on the platform that it was too late to testify against him since he already sworn denial to a claim him based in, walked high above where a thief below who shechted a stolen animal after Basin had told him to pay the victim was told he was putter from Dalad Behay, which reminds us, where a thief stood for judgment and was found guilty and was told to pay, shechting afterwards would not obligate Dalad Behay. So the tightrope walker who told two Edim standing on the platform that it was too late to testify against him, since he already sworn denial to a claim, im basin, walked high above where a thief below who shechted a stolen animal after basin had told him to pay the victim was told he was pater from Dal of the Hay, and saw a shomer refuse to take an oath when his little son claimed he had given the shomer his little balancing beam to watch, which reminds us of Brisa Darshan's the pasuk Kiten Ish, if a man shall give someone a pikadon, teaching Ein Asinus Katan Klum, a minor's giving of a pikadon is nothing, meaning a shomer would not swear about such a pikadon nor pay kefal for tolan tainas ganav. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which stuff did we learn? A garment which was dyed with klipe orla should be set afire, proving chazusa milsi, appearance is considered a significant matter. That's on Dav Kufal. Good. Number 2, which daf do we machos whether a shaliach for a creditor that was appointed with Edim is considered a legal shaliach? That's on daf Kufdal. Good. Number 3, which daf they learn about Amoraim who hold that the laws of Shomrim require hoda b'miksas? That's on daf Kufzayin. Good. Number 4, which daf they learn about wood does not have kedusha shvis since its benefit and consumption do not coincide like food? That's on daf Kufav. Good. Number 5, which of the reason why one who is motiba mixas must take a shavua? That's on daf Kufzayin. Good. Number 6, which daf do we learn a thief who shechs a stolen animal after being found guilty and based in is pater from Dal Vehei? That's on daf Kufav. Good. Number 7, which daf do we discuss what the din is when one swears he did not steal chametz, which is now worthless? That's on daf Kufhei. Good. Number 8. Which of the one, according to Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, a shomer chinam, who was tolan tainas ganav, is not chayv to pay kefal, unless there was shlichus yad? That's on daf Kufzayin. Good. Number 9. Which daf to mechuz? What is done if a gazlan robs someone from a group of 5 and can't remember who he robbed? That's on daf Kuf Gimel. Good. Number 10. Which of the one, the rab holds that one who swears falsely to deny a claim and then is disproven by Edim is exempt from paying? That's on daf Kuvav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Yoram Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.